Chapter 9.
My troop of animal people warriors and I meandered through the mountain crevices, and we climbed over the boulders we could not walk around. The sun began to rise as we set out from the entrance of New Haven, and the wind rifled through my hair in a pleasant manner. The rainbow-colored sky was bright and shiny, and birds flew through the air toward the opening in the mountain peak. It was a good day to deal with a giant. With a few quick commands, I sent the bird women up ahead to scout out the giant's lair for me. But Una and May walked on either side of me, and both women cast flirtatious smiles my way every time I looked at them. Whatever it was about me that attracted them only seemed to be growing stronger with each day that passed, and I wasn't about to complain. Having two of the hottest women I'd ever seen want me was its own reward. We didn't have far to travel to reach the giant's lair, but it was slow going to get through the mountain passes. We crossed over a couple of streams rolling down the slope from the higher elevations, and I wondered where they all originated from. It could just be snow melt, or there could be some kind of spring-fed water source higher up the peak. The stream inside New Haven provided for all our water needs, but it never hurt to have backup plans. We walked in silence for a long time, but then May cleared her throat to get my attention, and I shot her a questioning glance.
I wonder how the giant will respond to our presence. Do you think he will become instantly hostile?
I sure as hell hope not. I worked the muscle in my jaw. I just know he can't keep stomping around on top of the mole people's tunnels without facing the consequences. They have a hard enough time maintaining their population without having extra work thrown on top of everything else.
I'm curious what your plan is. I know you are the dreamer, but aren't you scared? I'm terrified he's going to stomp on you.
Fuck yeah, I am, I answered without hesitation. I'm just one man, but all I know is that it's up to me to keep my people safe. I haven't figured out all the details just yet, but I'm sure I'll come up with something before we get there.
We can help, you know. Allow us to storm our brains for ideas.
I'll take all the help I can get. I flashed the dodo woman a tight-lipped smile. While I was fairly confident in my ability to go toe-to-toe with the giant once I ingested the big potion, I knew the potion wouldn't last forever, so it would be awesome if it didn't have to come to a fist fight. Maybe there was some way to get an advantage over the oversized man. The terrain grew challenging for a moment, and we fell into silence as we navigated the slope. But May quickly came up beside me the instant she was able to. The dodo woman slid her hand into mine, and she flashed me a broad smile.
Anything?
She asked in a hopeful tone. I shrugged and flashed her a sheepish smile. Still working on it.
We'll rope something up,
the dodo woman assured me. Rope. An image sprang into my mind's eye of the spider silk strands the mole people used, and my small smile transformed into an ear-to-ear grin. You're a genius, May! I leaned over to place a grateful kiss on her cheek.
I'm unsure of what I've accomplished, but I value your words nonetheless.
I'd brought some of the spider silk rope back to New Haven with me to show the others, but then it had entirely slipped my mind. This would be the perfect opportunity to test out the strength of the strands, though, so I'd have to send someone to fetch it as soon as possible. The rope idea caused my thoughts to turn to the mole people once more, and if we were lucky, they would label themselves as our allies very soon. But first, I had to follow through on my promise. Think many mole people will even show up?
You will have an ally before the day is through,
May said in a confident tone.
They need only see your power and prestige for themselves, and then they will be throwing themselves at your feet.
I was happy with the treatment we received in the tunnels, I said, as I frowned with thought. Amon could have put us in jail cells or something like that, but instead he gave us the chance to prove the truth of our claims. And then he threw a feast for us. He'll be a good ally soon enough, of that I'm sure.
The mole people would be wise to join our cause now,
Una huffed, and her tail twitched back and forth behind her.
If they wait much longer, the Dark King will target them, and they'll have to face the nightmares alone.
They're already dealing with some nightmares on their own, but they are just as eager to end the reign of darkness as we are. Once I have my army, we can launch a direct attack on the Clover Queen's fortress, and then we'll reclaim this whole section of all the land for the rebels.
Does that mean we could return to Havenwood?
Shelley's face was full of hope as she trotted to catch up to us. Maybe eventually, I said with a comforting smile. For now, it's still not safe to go back there since the Clover cards know where it's at. The bear woman's eyebrows furrowed as she thought about what I'd said, and the rest of us fell into a comfortable silence for a while. We continued to travel through the mountains, and we angled our trajectory toward the east whenever we could. The giant's lair laid southeast of New Haven, but I'd made sure he was far enough away to not cause us any problems. The mole people weren't as lucky, but the giant would answer for that soon enough. The Bird Women Scouts returned a short while later, and they reported the giant was awake and moving about his campsite. They described how huge he was and how big his fists were, but I calmed them down with a few reassuring words before I reminded them of the potion we'd brought with us. Then I instructed them to return to New Haven to fetch the length of spider silk rope before I let myself absorb their words of warning, but my stomach clenched into a tight fist as I envisioned the monstrous man. There was a good chance I'd get beaten to a pulp. I swallowed hard as I tried to calm my frayed nerves, but being nervous was to be expected when you were about to challenge a man who stood two stories tall. He could step on me like a bug, blow me away with a single breath, or swat me off the side of the mountain like he was waving off a mosquito. I shook my head to dispel the images of countless possible deaths, and I lifted my chin with determination. No matter how scared I was about what laid ahead of me, I wasn't going to back down. The sun was high in the sky when we finally approached the giant's large cave, but I pulled my animal people warriors to a halt before the cave came into view. The curl of smoke climbing into the air was more than enough indication we were getting closer, and I wanted to make sure everyone would follow my instructions to the letter. "All right, listen up, everybody," I said in a low voice. All the eyes of the animal people warriors turned to me as they came to a halt, and I nodded in approval. "The giant's lair is up ahead. You can see the smoke from his fire rising into the air, so he's up and about this time. Anyone who wishes to turn back should do so now, since we'll be coming within view of the giant soon."
"We stay with you,"
Una insisted with a firm nod.
"I wouldn't miss this for anything in the world,"
May added.
"We have your back, Dreamer,"
Shelley said.
"You can count on us, Dreamer,"
Isabel assured me with a bright smile. I knew I picked the right people.
"We volunteered,"
Una said with a confused tilt of her head. "I know." I laughed, but then I rubbed my hands together, and my gaze swept over to the smoke curling above the horizon ahead of us. "So this is my idea. We use the rope as a tripwire across the giant's path, and once he's down, I'll subdue him. I'll need everyone to work together in order to accomplish this. What do you say? Time to see what's so intimidating about this giant guy."
"Let's do it!"
My group cheered in unison, and then we were off on the final leg of our journey to the giant's lair. The smell of cooking meat permeated the air as we approached, and my stomach growled a reminder that I'd skipped breakfast. I pushed the thought to the back of my mind, but I knew I'd been too excited and anxious to have been able to eat before we left New Haven. The cavern's mouth opened before us, and the top of the opening looked to be two stories tall. The interior was too dark for me to see inside, but the massive bonfire burning before the entrance cast twitching shadows upon the cliff wall. The giant stood with his back to us, and he was hunched over the spit above the flames, as one of his enormous hands twisted the rod to rotate the meat.
"Hello there!"
I cleared my throat as my companions scattered around the edge of the giant's campsite in a semicircle. May and Una snuck away as they carried the lengths of spider silk rope between them, and I was confident they would get the tripwire set up in the spot we'd designated. They'd lay the rope down on the ground, cover it with leaves, and then wait for my signal. The giant's head whipped around, and his massive blue eyes narrowed in my direction. He towered over me like a skyscraper. But I had a big potion on my side, so he wouldn't stay that way for very long.
"Who dares disturb me while I'm at my meal?"
the giant thundered in a voice that shook my very bones. I swallowed down the lump of fear that rose in my throat as I craned my neck to look up at him. But I took a deep, steadying breath before I faced him calmly and flashed him a grin.
"I'm Alex, and I'm the Dreamer of Prophecy. You may have heard of me?"
"The night can take your prophecy. What are you doing here?"
My hair flew back from the hot wind created by his words, and I squinted into the blast until he was done talking. It was gross and also terrifying, but I managed to keep my feet under me.
"You have been disturbing the tunnels of the mole people to the west of here,"
I explained in a calmer voice than I expected, given I was forcefully keeping myself from shaking.
"I am here to get you to stop."
"You want me to stop what?"
the giant shook his head.
"I refuse to cow before a pipsqueak like you."
"I won't be much of a pipsqueak soon, I can promise you that," I informed him with a chuckle.
"You either agree to stay off their tunnels or I will force you."
"Ho, ho, ho! What do you think you could even begin to do to me?"
The giant's laugh felt like an earthquake, and I saw several of my companions struggling to maintain their balance.
You surely jest, small man.
I wish I was joking, I shrugged. I'm not leaving until I get my way.
Then you are leaving in pieces,
the giant growled as he balled up his fists. Each hand was the size of a boulder, and I half expected him to slam them into me at that moment. But he remained motionless as he towered over me, so I took a deep, calming breath. Crushed to death by a giant's fist would be an interesting way to die, at least, but I had no intention of losing this fight if I could help it. I would do everything in my power to defeat the giant once and for all, and then he'd regret all the name-calling.
If we can't work this out like reasonable adults, then I will be forced to take a physical action against you. Mark my words, giant, the latter is a choice you will regret.
My companions watched with bated breaths while I stared up at the massive man. But he merely glared down at me as he thought over my words. His dark hair was shaggy and hung to his broad shoulders, and his humongous brown eyes loomed above me like two black voids. My gaze swept over his bulging muscles, and I realized he could kill me with a single stomp of his foot if he wanted to. But something was holding him back. The giant didn't want to kill me, and I didn't want to have to kill him either. Maybe he was also hiding from the Dark King. It wasn't like he was attacking anyone when he caused the cave-ins, but it still wouldn't do to let him run rampant without reining him in a little. Plus, if I could get this guy to submit to me, I might win myself another ally in the upcoming war against darkness. That was reason enough to not kill him where he stood. I'll tell you what, I said with a friendly smile. We can settle this once and for all, but when I win, you have to agree to stay away from the mole people's territory.
How am I supposed to know where these mole people even are?
The giant growled again, and he stomped a foot, which caused the ground to shake beneath my feet. I wobbled unsteadily before I managed to right myself, but at least I didn't fall over and embarrass myself.
I'll draw you a map of safe paths to take, I offered as I shrugged one shoulder. You'll do whatever I say when I win, I'm willing to bet on it.
I will believe it when I see it,
the giant huffed. He crossed his arms over his chest, and his glower was so full of heat it could have started a fire.
You don't understand.
I pulled the big potion from my pocket of my baggy pants, and I held it up for the giant to see.
I've got this!
You're going to take one of the night-claimed poisons? You think that is without consequences? I'll squash you the second you're overpowered by opposition effects.
Oh ho ho ho, but you forget, I'm the dreamer. There will be no opposition effects for me. Not now and not ever.
Prove it,
was all the giant said in response. I shrugged again, and I pulled the cork free before I lifted the potion bottle to my lips. The taste was familiar, but I wasn't certain it was the same as the previous big potion I'd drunk. I'd ingested so many potions by that point, it was hard to keep their colors and tastes straight in my head. In any case, it was too late to go back now, and I trusted Dr. Kriya's research. I downed the entire potion before I replaced the cork and put the empty container back in my pocket. But then I flashed the giant a cocky grin. My heart thudded against my chest as I waited for the growth to take effect, but I couldn't help thinking about how long the magical properties keeping me in giant form would last. Would I be able to hold out long enough?
All right, give it a minute and then we'll get started. You have until we are matched in size to change your mind and agree to peace.
You call for peace while you invade my home.
The giant shook his massive head, and the wind from the motion buffeted down at me.
You will learn to leave me alone.
I would gladly leave you alone if you weren't hurting other people with your actions. As it is, you still have time to come around.
I could feel the tension among my companions, even from a distance, so I shot them a confident smile as I waited for the big potion to take effect. I knew from my prior experience that it could take a while for my size to begin to change, but I cast a glance down at my person when I suddenly realized my clothes would be ruined.
Don't worry, folks, I called to my followers. This will all be over very soon, but in the meantime, enjoy the show.
You call it a show,
the giant growled.
But it will be more of a tragedy.
Maybe from your perspective,
I chuckled. And I began to feel the familiar tingling sensation in my limbs that signaled the beginning of the changes to my body. The longer I could stall him from the fight, the better. I wasn't eager to go fisticuffs with someone who was actually accustomed to being two stories tall, but I would do anything I had to in order to keep my people safe.
You look awfully tiny from my eyes,
the giant pointed out, with a twisted smile that revealed large, crooked teeth. I ignored him as I pulled off my vest as my torso began to enlarge, but I wasn't willing to wrestle naked, so I left my pants on. They'd be stretched to their limits, and the seams would likely split, but it would be better than having my dick flapping around for everyone to see. The giant watched with growing impatience as my arms lengthened, but when I started to get taller and taller, his eyes grew wide with wonder. I grew and grew until I stood face to face with the two-story tall grungy man, and then I looked him square in the eyes with a confident smile plastered on my face. Despite the faux expression of confidence, I was still trying to calm the staccato hammering of my heart against my ribcage to no avail. So, instead, I tried to regulate my breathing. Even if I didn't feel calm inside, that didn't mean I had to show it on the outside. You were saying? I balled my fists in much the same way he had, and his eyes darted down to my hands as a worried expression flashed across his face. Not so tiny and pipsqueakish after all, am I? The giant had the decency to shake his head, but then he frowned, and I knew it would still come to blows.
You will grow even tinier now,
he said, in a tone that made it obvious he thought he'd already won.
I just have to wait until you are the size of a bug, and then I can squish you.
It's not gonna happen, man. I'm gonna kick your ass if you don't agree to stop fucking with the mole people. This is your final warning.
I can take you on.
The giant ripped off his caveman-style furry tunic, and his bare chest rippled with muscles. I swallowed hard at the sight of his obvious strength, but I'd played WWE SmackDown a time or two, so I summoned all my hand-to-hand combat knowledge as I squared off with the giant. While I was the same size as him, it merely put us on an even playing field. Neither one of us had a sizable advantage over the other, so it should make for an evenly matched fight. I waited a few more breaths before I let out a deep, guttural growl as I lunged forward, and I wrapped my arms around the giant's waist in an effort to bring him to the ground. The giant's feet slid backward in the dirt, but then he backed up against a boulder, and he used the hard surface to shove himself forward. I flew backward and almost tripped over my own feet, but I quickly regained my balance and charged once more. I was attempting to maneuver around behind the giant so I could place him in a chokehold, but he kept shifting on his feet to keep me in front of him. The giant was the next one to lunge forward, but I saw the move coming from a mile away, and I stepped to the side with a nimble skip of my feet, so the massive man grasped at nothing but thin air. I sidestepped to position myself at his back, and I wrapped my arms under his armpits before I dragged him back off his feet. The giant used a nearby boulder to kick off, and the two of us fell into the dirt with a resounding thud that had the rocks around us shaking. Several of my companions scurried back to get out of the way of our humongous tumbling bodies, but I pulled the giant away from where Una and May stood watching.
Watch out for the ladies,
I hissed, as I wrapped my legs around his waist and squeezed my massive thighs.
They're just here as witnesses and messengers.
Are you a fool to bring me even more victims?
The giant howled, and he struggled in vain to free himself from my hold. The weight of the giant began to press into my chest, and despite being of equal size to the huge man, I was beginning to run out of breath. I needed to get on top of him and pin him to the ground as soon as possible, but the giant was certainly holding his own. You're not going to lay a single meaty finger on my women, I said in a deadly quiet voice. But the giant merely growled and attempted to ram his elbow into my ribs. I released my hold and shoved him off of me as I rolled in the opposite direction, but we both came to our feet to face each other at the same time. I didn't wait for him to attack, and I went straight into an offensive move. I twisted beneath his arm, grabbed him around the neck with my forearm, and hooked my other hand under his leg. Then I lifted the humongous two-story tall giant into the air above my head before I slammed him back into the dirt. I heard the crack of trees as they fell in the nearby woods, and I grimaced as I sent out a hope that we weren't causing even more cave-ins for the mole people to deal with.
You're going to die, fool,
the giant muttered as he got back to his feet. Not likely, I chirped. I was ready and waiting when the giant charged me, and I arrested his momentum by flowing with his movements. I used his energy against him as I swept him around in a circle and slammed him face first into a massive boulder.
How you feeling about that peace talk now? I asked, as the giant shook his head to clear the stars he was likely seeing. The giant merely growled and lunged for me again, but his aim was off, and he came at me sideways. So it was easy enough to sidestep out of his way and let him slam his face into the opposing cliff wall. His bonfire jumped, and several burning logs fell from the blaze to roll across the ground. But they were like matchsticks under my foot, so I didn't pay them any more attention. I'd hoped to come to some sort of agreement with the massive man, but his attitude was quickly wearing down my patience. I was ready to end this fight and have him begging for my mercy. This time, I didn't give him a chance to adjust to the dizziness in his skull, and I grabbed one of his arms to swing him around in my clenched fist. The bones of his nose cracked beneath the pressure of my knuckles, and blood poured from his nostrils.
You bastard!
The giant roared as he slammed a fist into my gut. I doubled over as all the air was expelled from my lungs, but I kept my grip on the giant's arm, and I used it as leverage to right myself again. My torso screamed as my lungs burned, but I glared into the giant's bloody face with a fierce determination. I was done playing. I yanked the giant's arm around his back, and I shoved it upward until he had to lean forward to relieve the pressure. Then I wrapped my other arm around his waist and lifted him from his feet with a groan of effort before I slammed him head first into the ground.
Pile driver!
I said, but I didn't give the giant time to recover. I jumped into the air and I drove my elbow into his spine. Then I grabbed one of his legs and his arm and I pulled until he was bent in half backward.
Get off me!
The giant snarled as he put his hands beneath him and heaved himself up.
Fight me like a man!
WWE SmackDown was designed for men, I argued as a smirk twisted my lips. You can learn a lot from playing a few video games, you know.
Your trickster words will not distract me from ending you,
the giant huffed. They're just words. It's not my fault you're too dumb to understand them. Next, I moved the giant into a backbreaker, followed immediately by a power slam, and I finished with another pile driver. The giant swayed on his feet when he regained his balance, and this time I gave him a minute to recover. Maybe he would come around without any more violence. I was to have no such luck, though, since the massive man growled as he charged for me once more. I sidestepped, but I wasn't quick enough to dodge his attack, and my shoulder slammed into the cliff wall. The giant was breathing heavily, and his shoulders were slumped as he stepped back to glare at me. But I could tell he wasn't giving up yet. He may be losing steam, but he was far from defeated. My companions had anxious expressions on their faces when I stole a glance in their direction, so I plastered on my most confident smile as I puffed out my chest and faced the giant again. Ready to give up yet?
Never!
The giant growled. The giant was a tough nut to crack, but I was the dreamer, and nothing would stop me from protecting the people of all the land. If the stupid giant would only work with me, I would be willing to add him to the list of followers under my protection. Not that the big guy needed much protection, but still. He was missing out on a great opportunity for a strong alliance, and I almost regretted it having to come to blows. The giant had made his choice, though, so I just had to follow through on my word.
Get him, Alex!
Una cheered from the boulder where she stood.
Get him good!
Yes, Dreamer! Teach him some manners!
May added with a loud cackle, and even from a distance I could see the ring of smoke from her pipe engulfing her face. My other companions shouted their own encouragements at me, and their confidence in me bolstered me up. I was ready to spring our trap. I let out a loud, shrill whistle to signal Una and May, but then I circled the giant for a while to give them time to get the trap in place. The giant snarled at me before he charged forward with fists raised. But I flashed him a fake expression of fear as I darted away, straight toward the tripwire. I scanned the path ahead closely so I wouldn't fall victim to my own trap. But then I saw Una's tail sticking out from between two boulders, and the strand laid across the road beneath it. The two hybrid ladies had wrapped the ends of the rope around the boulders to either side of the trail, so it would still require a lot of strength to hold it against the impact of the giant's ankles. I hoped it was enough. I jogged just fast enough to keep out of the giant's reach, but he was hot on my tail as I neared the trap. It would have to be perfectly timed in order for my plan to work, but I was confident in the animal people's ability to work together. With a small leap, I hurled myself to the other side of the tripwire laying across the ground,
and I hoped the giant didn't pick up on the reason behind the movement. I heard the thundering echo of his feet as they slammed into the dirt behind me, so I skidded to a halt just far enough away to not get hit by his collapsing body.
Come back here and let me squash you!
The giant shouted as he chased me down. But then the silver strand was yanked taut from either side of the path, and he ran straight into the trap. The rocks themselves jumped as his body hit the ground, and I nearly lost my balance from the residual shockwaves. My heartbeat thrummed in my ears as sweat dappled on my forehead, and I darted out my tongue to moisten my dry lips. The giant mumbled into the dirt. Is that a surrender? I asked with bated breath.
Never!
He spat. I leapt on him without warning, and I twisted his arm around behind his back, but then I straddled his spine as I wrapped my other forearm across his throat. I squeezed with all the strength in my massive body, and the skin around the giant's face began to turn purple. Once I was confident I could hold him prone while my companions completed the second part of our trap, I jerked my chin toward the side of the road to signal May and Una into action. The two animal women darted forward with more spider silk rope in their grasp, and together we bound the giant's arms and legs together. I held the pose until the giant ceased to inhale breaths, and then I held it for a little while longer. When the giant went slack, I released my grip, but he managed to wrench one of his arms free and push himself back to his feet despite being hobbled. The giant was gasping in oxygen, and his face was slowly coming back to a normal hue, but he didn't seem eager to get back to our fight, so I gave him a moment to recuperate. I'd drunk the entire contents of the big potion, but I was still a little worried about the effects wearing off too soon. With any luck, I'd be stuck in my own giant form for a while, just in case the monstrous man decided to change his tune. But I wouldn't fit inside the hollow mountain peak of New Haven until I was back to my normal size, anyway. This can all end right now. All you have to do is agree to my terms.
I will not be a slave to some puny human!
The giant roared, and he struggled against the bindings until the spider silk snapped from his wrists. Freed from the trap, the big man began to tear at the rope around his ankles.
Shit.
My potion could wear off at any minute, and we were back to the beginning all over again. I wasn't sure how much more of this I could endure before my muscles gave out completely, but I shoved the thought away and replaced it with steely resolve. I wouldn't give up until I won. I was the fucking dreamer of the prophecy, damn it.
Then you leave me no choice, I said.
I stepped forward and brought my fists in front of my face like a boxer, and I hopped on the balls of my feet as I waited for an opening. When the giant growled for what seemed like the millionth time, I knew he was about to go on the offensive, but I was ready for it. I ducked below his arms, and I pummeled his stomach with a flurry of fists before I jumped back out of his reach again. The giant winced, and he spat out a little bit of blood before he lunged once more. I needed to get him into another chokehold, but the next time I got the opportunity, I wasn't going to let him back up until he surrendered.
You're making this way harder on yourself than it has to be, I said in a teasing voice. It could all be over with a single word.
Oh, yeah?
The giant grimaced, and I could tell he was in pain.
What word would that be?
Surrender! I shrugged. Have you heard of it?
I will never surrender!
The giant wheezed, and sweat dappled his entire body.
Soon you won't have a choice.
I needed strong and stubborn men like him on my side, not as my enemies. The giant lunged forward without another word, and I resumed my defensive posture. I managed to get in a few clean hits to his jaw, and the sound of his neck crackling when it whipped to the side was like music to my ears. I slammed my fist into his face the next chance I got, and I almost imagined I saw stars floating around his massive head. His eyes crossed, and he swayed on his feet, but I knew it was unlikely that would be the final blow. It was too easy. Still, I didn't give him a chance to regain his bearings before I sidestepped around him to place him into a chokehold again. I bore him down to the ground on top of me with both my forearms locked around his throat, and the giant swung his elbows backward in an attempt to strike me in the ribs. I was keen to the move this time, though, and I twisted just enough to take the majority of the impact to my stomach instead of the sensitive and bruised bones. I could hear the giant sputtering as he tried to draw breath, and his face grew warm against my arms. I inhaled oxygen greedily to myself, but I wasn't about to let go. The giant rolled back and forth, kicked his feet, and pulled at my arms, but he couldn't break my grip, and eventually his arms fell slack. It wasn't until his breathing became dangerously shallow that I released my hold, but the giant didn't struggle anymore. I shoved him off of me and lumbered to my feet, but the giant laid motionless in a huddled mass in the dirt. He was out, and I'd won. May and Una instantly dashed forward with the ropes to retie the bindings on his wrists and ankles, but this time they added more layers of the strong strands. I helped them attach the restraints on his feet to the ones on his hands, so he couldn't move more than an inch without his back being stretched to an uncomfortable degree. I hauled him into a sitting position, but his head hung limply and his chin rested on his chest. He was out. I finally let out an exhale of relief and let the tension evaporate from my body, and my knees threatened to give out the second I released my grip on my self-control. Still, I'd fought through my fears, and not only lived to tell the tale, but I'd emerge victorious. It was good to be the dreamer. "Send a runner back to New Haven," I ordered my companions. "Tell them I won the fight, but we'll be here for a while longer."
Yes, dreamer,
Ida said, with a bob of her head, and then the crow woman was off into the air. I swept my gaze around the destroyed campsite, but I didn't feel bad for messing up the giant's home. He'd had plenty of opportunities to talk peacefully, and now he understood what happened when he denied me. The dreamer had struck again.